This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 625.
Today we hear from Charles, who asks,
First, I want to say thank you. I have been listening to your show for years now, and while I have not written you in a while, I have still been here.
Woohoo!
Your show brings some education, some enlightenment, and always entertainment, so thank you.
You're welcome. It's great to hear from you again.
The addition of Kitty rounds it out a bit with another voice in the ether giving solace to our needs. Well, thank you. Maybe you can help me out, but likely I am doomed. I have been fighting an internal tug-of-war for the past year, and my struggle is one that is only shared by young procrastinating writers such as myself. I have spent the last 4 years reading books on writing, listening to podcasts, and reading books of fiction. I have read an average of 150 a year since I joined Goodreads in 2012. Problem is, with all this knowledge, I have crammed 20 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag, as it were. I have been writing down notes and ideas for stories, and I have amassed quite a few notebooks worth of text. But where do I start? What idea should I begin with? I know that my earlier stories will suffer from being not very good, and I can only get better if I write. But I do not want to waste any of my ideas on the beginning stages of trying to get good. I know that I will always come up with more ideas, but I genuinely love the ones that I have, and I don't want to spend time writing them only to have them become throwaway stories when I finish. It is like I have all of the Avengers in a room duking it out for the first one to be written. While I know of your distaste of the Marvel films, it was the best comparison that I could come up with. This, mixed with a healthy dose of procrastination, leads to where I am today. Someone who has no idea where to begin. Am I hopeless?
No, you're not hopeless. Those notebooks you've filled up, don't throw them away. They are not as useless as they feel right now, trust me. You never know when you might grow into one of those ideas. There are three kinds of ideas you'll get as a writer. You'll get an idea that you don't want to write because you're past it. You've seen it done better, you don't have anything to add to it, or you know too much to make it work. There are some ideas you can't make work if you know too much. You will run into them, and it's frustrating when you do because you think, oh, if I'd had this idea 15 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I could have really done something with this, but now I know that it won't work on principle, so I can't quite convince myself enough to do the required hand wavium to make it work. The second kind of idea you get is the kind that is exactly right. It might not be a complete idea. You may need a little more to make it work. But it hits you where you are right now and you're like, that has captured my attention and I can execute it and I'm going to. And you do. The third kind of idea you have is the idea that's either not completely baked, meaning that it's not complete, it's missing something, and it's not something you can come up with right away. Or it's an idea that you haven't grown into yet. You're just not a good enough writer to pull it off. Or you don't know something you need to know to make it work. I put these in the same category because they are the ideas that you're not ready for yet. The ideas you have to grow into.
So ideas are basically porridge.
Yeah, ideas are like porridge. This last category, the one that's too hot, these are the ideas that are analogous to the way Tolkien describes children's books. He says, children's books, like their clothes, should allow room for growth, and unlike their clothes, they should encourage it. These are the ideas that you have to grow into. They're like your children's clothes. The notebooks that you have amassed, this is your boneyard. These are records of the ideas that you haven't grown into yet. Mostly. There'll probably be some that you're already past. And sometimes you'll go through the notebooks and you'll be like, nope, past this one, and you call it down. But they are a gold mine that will benefit you throughout your life. The following books of mine all grew out of my junk file from the early years. Silent Victor, the fourth Lantham book. Started life as a book with the same title when I was 14, and I've still got the notebook somewhere in my own handwriting. I only wrote about, I guess it was 3 or 4 pages of it. I was going to say 10, but it must have only been 3 or 4. And then I stopped. I didn't know what to do with it. The book as it stands, I wrote in my mid-30s. And I was so proud of having finished it that I included the original draft as an appendix in the novel. So if you want to read what I was writing when I was 14 years old, that's where to go. Because that's the only bit of my early writing that is out in public. It's at least in the paperback. I think it's also in the ebook. It was in the ebook for a while. I don't think we took it out the last time we refreshed the ebooks, but I haven't looked, so I'd have to check, and I'm not going to. The fifth Lantham book, because once that happened, I was like, I'm going through my notebooks. It's obviously time to harvest some ideas. He Ain't Heavy started life as a short story I wrote when I was 21, and it was missing something. I knew it was missing something. I couldn't figure out what it was. I sent it around, and it never sold, partly because it was too long. It was a short story that was 20,000 words. Ugh. It never sold, and at that point, I didn't understand about word lengths. So I put it in a drawer. Actually, I put it in a binder, put it up on my shelf as, oh, the things I wrote, and maybe I'll figure out how to sell that later on. I also kept the electronic file, which came in handy later, because I liked the story a lot. I liked the concept behind it, especially. But it needed something to make it work. It just didn't work like it was. I would periodically revisit it, and every time I would reread it, you know, every few years, I'd get more and more frustrated, because there was something really special there, and it just didn't work at all. And the better I got as a writer, the more I could see that it didn't work, but I couldn't see what it was missing. And at some point, it came together in my head, spontaneously one day, with two other ideas I'd been toying with. One of those ideas was Lantham, and the other one was an episode of a TV show I saw about a kid that almost got killed by a Black Widow spider. And I thought that would make a great MacGuffin in a Lantham book, and then it occurred to me that those two things fit perfectly with this abandoned short story. So those three things all came together and made the book that now exists. And I would say it's unrecognizable, but the truth is, if you read the original, you would recognize exactly what it is. Even some of the names came across. My first podcast novel, Predestination, started life in a notebook when I was 15. Well, I wrote it as a series of short stories that then turned into a novel when I was about 22. And then I wrote the version that was podcast about 5 years after that, at the urging of a friend who liked the short stories and wanted to see a novel. And I've now done it a third time to bring it in line with the prequel that I wrote, so I mean, that's finally to bed. But it took several tries, the last one when I was 40 years old, to get this one right. The problem with it, of course, was that the story was way bigger than I realized at every step of the way. And it took 2.5 decades for me to learn and understand what kind of story it was and how to tell it in a way that allowed me to tell it all the way through. That's the basis of the big series I'm working on when I'm able to do anything writing-related right now. We Create Worlds, my short story, came from a sketch monologue that I wrote when I was 20. It didn't attain its final form till my early 30s when it became a proper short story. The Lantham novel, The Bodies in the Basement, came from an idea I had and a game I played with my brothers when I was 10 years old, and I just jotted the idea down in a single sentence in a notebook at that age. Blood and Weeds came from the same time period. Several of my other short stories come from single lines I wrote down and forgot about, then chanced across years later and caught my imagination. Down from 10 started life as a ripoff of the movie Clue, written for radio when I was in high school, and then turned into a vampire story, and then it finally became the story it is now. It took a while searching through that concept to find the story. And it is important to note that at the first couple of stages of all of these, with the exception of He Ain't Heavy, We Create Worlds, and Predestination, none of this made it past about 2 or 3 sentences of description in a notebook, or a few paragraphs in the case of Silent Victor. Nothing ever made it past chapter 1, at least, in terms of writing it. I got into it, and boom, it was not working, and I didn't know why, so I put it on the shelf. Which is all to say that these last 4 years that you've spent cramming 20 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag doing this creative churn, this will pay off through your whole life if you keep that boneyard and walk through it occasionally so that you can keep in touch with the seeds that you've scattered there. Occasionally, they will spring to life in really unexpected ways, and you will love yourself for having preserved them. But right now, that's not your problem. Right now, you need something to do. You need to write something you can finish. At this point, I would suggest that anything you can see through to the end will do. It doesn't matter how good it is, it doesn't matter if it's fresh or stale. You need that experience of working something through to completion so that you know it can be done. Once you know it can be done, especially once you've done it twice, the floodgates will open in a very important way. It may not be the only set of floodgates you have, but one very important set of floodgates will open. You will know that you can do it. It will become review territory. Most important things in life, most difficult things, you have to do at least twice before you know that you know how to do them. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 times. You need to do this at least twice. Pick something that you can see through, something you can see the end from the beginning, something you can see the whole story of right when you look at it, something that you can pick up and write through and see to the end. And that should get you unstuck. And then that boneyard will start to become more interesting. It will fertilize everything else going forward, even if you're not actively pulling it from it. Those ideas that you've written down will stay churning in your subconscious. They'll emerge in totally weird ways that you don't even recognize until years after you publish the book that's based on them. None of that time scribbling will prove a waste in the long run, provided that you grow as a writer. As you do, you will grow into things that you didn't know you weren't ready for yet. Doesn't mean you'll use all those ideas. You won't, unless you're very unusual. But you will find that this time you've spent has set a tone for your entire creative life that you're not even aware of yet, and you won't be aware of until you look back on it 10, 20, 30 years later. Thank you very much for the question. It's great to hear from you again, Charles. Please write in again. It's always a pleasure, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.